Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Welcome to the Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. This program features the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. They co-labored in China in the 1930s and 40s, prior to the imprisonment of Watchman Nee by the communists in 1952. Witness Lee then carried this ministry first to Taiwan and eventually to the United States, where he began the life study of the entire Bible in 1974. Today brings us to our 70th and final life study of the book of Romans, and here with us for fellowship today is Ron Kangas. Ron, it's been quite an examination of one of the classic books of the Christian faith, hasn't it?
A marvelous life study, a careful, faithful study, and also a rich ministry of life. A marvelous series of messages.
Ron, we have one final message from the book of Romans to get into today, but I think it's fitting if we could get a word of summary from you. What has been the central message, Ron, of this life study of Romans?
One way to summarize it is with 5 words: sinners, sons, members, body, and churches. The central thought or message of Romans is that God is making sinners into sons to be the members of the body of Christ expressed in local churches. At the beginning of the book, we have a thorough exposure of fallen humankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then we have a marvelous revelation of God's complete salvation, His judicial redemption, and then, according to Romans 5:10, much more we are saved in His life. Now we are becoming sons of God, those mature in the divine life, to be members of that body of Christ described in Romans 12. And the universal body of Christ, which is uniquely one, is expressed in all the genuine local churches on the earth. This is the message of Romans. It's not just about justification. It's about sinners who are sons. These sons are members of the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is expressed in the church life.
Ron, very helpful indeed. Thank you for your fellowship. Let's join Witness Lee for our final life study from the book of Romans.
We were all saved in eternity.
Right.
We got saved already. In eternity, we got children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In eternity, we got saved. Not only, we got marked out.
Yeah.
But you didn't know. You were not noticeable. In your knowing, in your understanding, you were sometimes, on the one hand, so good sometimes, but sometimes you were so bad, right? You were so fallen. You just even didn't like yourself. You never thought that you were a marked person by God. You were safe. You never had this kind of thought. But one day, under His sovereignty, while you were wandering from city to city, even from country to country, and you heard the gospel, and you got the knowledge, then you say you believed. And the Bible says so. To believe is just to acknowledge. The proper preaching of the gospel is a kind of proclamation to tell you some of the facts already accomplished. The preaching of the gospel is to proclaim to you that you have been loved by God eternity. Amen. That you have been chosen by God eternity. Amen. That you have been marked out by God.
Amen.
That you belong to God.
Amen.
Yet you got fallen. Then you, after hearing this, you acknowledge this. And so I have to make up my mind. From today, I would behave myself to please God. But I did a lot of things wrong. I must firstly confess my sins. Then I'll be saved. Apparently, there's nothing wrong. But basically, this is wrong. It should be like this. After you listening to all the proclamations, you just say, Amen! Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Good enough. You got saved. If you do have the heart to accept, to acknowledge what has been proclaimed to you, by that time, if I ask you, are you saved? You have to say, yes, I'm saved. When? In eternity. This kind of acknowledgement of God's salvation, of your being saved, helps your Christian life in the future. In every point of your Christian life needs this kind of acknowledgement. On the day when you say Amen to the gospel, right away, the Spirit of God enters.
Amen. Amen.
Please read Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. When the gospel is preached to you, proclaimed to you, and you just acknowledge it, right away, the Spirit of God seals you. The Spirit of God enters you and dwells in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this proclamation. It is at that time the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Ron, I believe now we must be convinced that we were marked out by God in eternity past. But this word on being saved may seem too simple, that all that is required on our part is just an acknowledgement of the facts of the gospel. How is it, Ron, that our simple saying of Amen and thank you, Lord, to His finished work provides a way for Him to come to indwell us as the life-giving Spirit?
By saying such simple things as Amen, Lord, thank you, Lord, we are showing that our trust is absolutely not in ourselves and in our own works. There's a time to pray, but if we are beseeching God and praying desperately, we actually may be trying to contribute to our salvation by our works. When we say Amen, thank you, we acknowledge that we as sinners can do nothing but receive salvation by grace through faith. God in Christ has done everything for our salvation. There's no need to beg and plead. A simple contact with Him, an acknowledgement that shows faith, is sufficient to activate the marvelous process of God's salvation. Let's not trust ourselves. Let's not try to earn something by our works, even if they're disguised as fervent prayers. Let's turn to the Lord, appreciate the Lord, agree with Him by saying Amen, and thank Him for everything He is and has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go back to more of Witness Lee.
The gospel is this. God has selected you.
Amen.
God has predestined you. God has mark you out
Amen.
In eternity. Amen. Then the Son of God has come, and He has accomplished everything through all the process. Amen. Then in resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit. When you hear the proclamation of the good news, you acknowledge it. You say amen to it. Right away, this life-giving spirit enters you. And from that time, he dwells in you. You are in the spirit. Remain here. Don't do anything. Just proclaim. You are in.
Amen.
The gospel was a proclamation, and I am now proclaiming.
Amen.
The Spirit of God dwells in me, and I am in spirit.
Amen.
If you are such a person speaking by faith,
Amen.
What can defeat you?
Right.
You see the point? This is the glad tidings. This is the gospel of Christ. And this is the gospel of God. Marvelous. You may still have memories of all your failures. How about my wife? How about my husband? How about my children? How about my landlord? How about my job? How about my boss? You have to forget about the about.
Amen.
You have to remember the it.
Amen.
I'm in. I'm in spirit. How about your job? I'm in spirit.
Amen.
How about your wife? I'm in spirit.
Amen.
This little word in is not a small thing. There's no condemnation now in Christ. But you are not in flesh, but in spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Good enough. When I was young, as a Christian seeking after the Lord, I was, like the others, spending every cent I could have to buy the Christian books, to help myself. I just like to buy the books how to pray, how to be holy, how to be victorious, how to be spiritual, how to preach the gospel. Not one how-to worked. I just wasted my time. I wasted my money. You don't need to read those how-tos. Better read and pray Romans 8 100 times. Verse by verse. No need to say 100 times. I believe just 5 times. You'll be full of enjoyment. When you come to verse 9, don't let it go. I am in spirit.
Amen.
I am in spirit.
Amen.
Mingle. A mingled spirit.
Amen.
Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
How do you know this refers to two spirits? You have verse 16 that says, the spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now you do have that spirit works with our spirit. It doesn't say the spirit and our spirit witness. You see the point? The spirit witnesses with our spirit.
Amen.
We is indicates something deeper than end. The spirit and our spirit, that's not so deep. The two are still two. But the spirit with our spirit, one. That one is with this one. And the two are one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The mingled spirit.
Ron, this surely was a marvelous word. I think we can all relate to Witness Lee's testimony of trying so many how-tos. But the spirit with our spirit, this is not just another method or way, is it, Ron?
No, it isn't. Ways and methods are natural and human. It's something we try to do by our own effort or by our own knowledge, and we don't need that. We need to focus on a marvelous revelation, a marvelous reality in Romans 8:16. We as tripartite human beings have an organ called the human spirit. When we were saved and regenerated, Christ as the life-giving spirit came into our spirit. Romans 8:10 says, the spirit is life, we may have the assurance that we are children of God by the witnessing of the Spirit with our spirit. This is not a method. This is an action of the Spirit, working along with our regenerated human spirit as one to give us the assurance that we are children of God. Everything of Christ is in the Spirit, and this Spirit is now one with our spirit. When we're in the Spirit, we will do many things. We will pray, we will preach the gospel, we will praise the Lord, we will enjoy life and peace, we will have sweet fellowship. None of this is a method. Instead, we have a living person, Christ as the Spirit, in our spirit. The Spirit with our spirit. This is the key to the outworking of God's organic salvation.
Ron, we have one section left in our life study of Romans. Let's join Witness Lee.
Now, let me tell you, what are the aspects of the blessed work of the Spirit? Firstly, He is the indwelling Spirit. Indwelling us is not a small thing. We have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
This indwelling. Then, number two, He gives life. In verse 11, life-giving, life-imparting. While He indwells, He's not idle here. He imparts life to you. Then, number three, He puts to death. In verse 13, putting to death the practices of the body. We do have some negative things. Positively, He gives life. Negatively, He kills. He clears up all the negative things. Isn't this wonderful? Then, in verse 14, He's leading. As men are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. The indwelling Spirit is our lead. He leads us, and His leading is sweet. Number 5, verse 15, cry, Abba, Father. This is a sweet cry. When you cry, Abba, Father, how comforting. Number 6, in verse 16, He's the witnessing Spirit. We have the confirmation. We do have the testimony within us that we are children of God. Then, number 7, verse 26 says, in like manner, the Spirit also joins us in our weakness. He joins in to help us in our weakness. You may say, I'm weak. Hallelujah that we are weak. If you are not weak, He will not join you. Just because you are weak, He joins in.
Amen.
He shares in your weakness. All these blessings no human word can exhaust. So number 8, He intercedes. He intercedes where? Not in heaven. Because, verse 27 says, but He, that's God, who searches the hearts, our hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Now you can see, He is not only mingled Himself with our spirit, He is even mingled His mind with our heart. God searches your heart to know the mind of the Spirit. This is the mind of the Spirit is one with my heart. It says here, what? He intercedes with groanings, which cannot be uttered. This means He and you and He are just one. And His mind is wrapped up with your heart. Marvelous. He's just one with us. This means now we are enjoying the triune God. Mainly within us, in our spirit. So, to remain in the spirit, surely is not a small thing. Remain in spirit, you enjoy His indwelling, right? You enjoy His life-giving, you enjoy His killing, you enjoy His leading, you enjoy His witnessing, You enjoy his crying. You enjoy his groaning. You enjoy his interceding. You enjoy even his joining in our weakness. This is not a teaching. This is unveiling. This is a showing. This is a proclamation. This is a declaration of the real fact, of the real enjoyment.
All I can say, Ron, is what a gospel. We began the life study of Romans by rightly seeing it as the gospel of God. And we conclude it today with this simple yet profound word, just to say amen to the Spirit. Ron, give us your thoughts as we conclude the book of Romans.
In Romans 8, we have a marvelous revelation concerning the functions of the Spirit. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit is in us crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit, along with our cooperation, puts to death the deeds of the body. The Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit gives us the real foretaste of the full enjoyment of God. I'm reminded of Paul's word in Philippians 2, it is God who is operating in you. Since we have God operating in us, what should we do? We should simply cooperate with the Spirit's operation. So when we say amen, that means, Lord, we agree. Lord, we submit. Lord, we obey. Lord, we are one with you. At the center of the being of every regenerated believer in Christ Jesus is the mingled spirit. This is the regenerated human spirit mingled with the life-giving spirit. What God wants is that we do everything in this mingled spirit. Remember Paul's word in chapter 1, verse 9, God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit. Now we can see that to serve in the spirit is to serve in the mingled spirit. It's to serve in God who's dwelling in us. Do we need to strive in ourselves to do better? That's only a frustration. We need to recognize, based on Romans 8, the Spirit is very living and active in us. Our spirit is mingled with the Spirit. Once we become conscious of the Spirit's operation in a particular way, let us simply be one with Him. Let's open our mouth and say something. Thank you, Lord. Amen, Lord. O Lord Jesus. It's not saying this word or that word in particular, although amen's a marvelous response because it's so firm and simple. It's a matter of acknowledging that in ourselves we are nothing, we have nothing, and we can do nothing. So we end this life study, as Brother Lee does, with a simple admonition. Dear brothers and sisters, let the Spirit flow in you. Let the Spirit work in you. Let the Spirit operate in you and cooperate with His operation by saying, Amen. Amen, Spirit of life. Amen, interceding Spirit. Amen, life-dispensing Spirit. Amen, witnessing Spirit. The more we say Amen, the more the Spirit will operate in us to save us and to make us sons of God, who are members of the body of Christ, which is expressed in the churches for the glory and praise of God.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.